So if you look at the caring and sharing, it says, I'm going to give a sermon. That's probably pretty generous. I will give you a scripture and maybe a little short story. But I think maybe the whole purpose is for me to be short so that we can get on with our true sermon, which is walking the sermon that we're going to be doing here immediately following our dismissal. I'll give you more details on that. The scripture I wanted to give you was 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, starting in verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work as it is written. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confessions of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So Paul, he hits a lot of things in that little short thing. So he's encouraging them. In fact, he spends most of two chapters here, chapter 8 and chapter 9, encouraging them about this gift. And here he lays out lots of good reasons for giving. If you don't give very much, you won't get much back. That's a good. Selfish motive is always a good motive for me. if I can better myself, I'm in. God has given you things so that you can give them to other people. In fact, he has given to you generously so that you can give it. So God has actually supplied the gift. So it's not really costing you anything. Other places, it seems like the more that you would do with what God gives you, the more he's going to give you. So it's not a zero-sum game at all. Another good reason, the people need it. He said they really need your gift. Another good reason that he throws out there is God will be praised because of your gift. People will see your gift and they will recognize that God is active here on earth and his name will be praised. All very great, good reasons. He finishes up there, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So really, just the willingness to give on our part is a gift from God that he has given us. He has made us into that type of person, and that is a gift. In Romans, and I wasn't looking for it, but in our class this morning, Ron White turned us to a chapter in Romans, and he was talking about all the different spiritual gifts. And we recognize those as something from God, you know, prophesying, teaching, helping, healing. And then he throws one in there, if your gift is the gift of giving, then give generously. So really that's what God has called us to do, is he's equipped us, he's given us what we need, his grace has flowed into us and made us into that kind of person. And now he's asking us to go, and just like we're going to go this morning and we're going to do this thing to fill the food pantry, It's a gift that God has given us. Yeah, we're giving something to the food pantry, but we're only giving what God has given us. So my little story. So in chapter 8, if you put chapter 8 with chapter 9, it seems like in chapter 8 he talks about these people. And he says, y'all were the first people to give last year. And y'all did it out of the grace of your heart and all this. And then he starts talking about this other group of people, the Macedonians. And it seems like the Corinthians may be hedging a little bit on giving this year. And that's why he has to spend two chapters on them. So in other verses in the Bible, we're encouraged, don't become weary in doing good works. And I think sometimes we can get there with our giving. We can become weary in giving good works. The fact of the matter is we'll fill this food pantry up today and it'll empty back out. And we'll fill it up again 3 months from now or 6 months from now, and it will empty out again. And 3 months and 6 months from there, I'm telling you, Jesus told his disciples, you know, the poor will always be with you. The need for giving in this way is never going to go away. So it would be easy to take a pass today and say, you know, I gave last time. Last year, I was the first one. I got my bag back here quicker than anybody. I was like the Corinthians. I was the first in giving. But I don't know. I'm just going to take a pass today for whatever reason. I'm a little weary in my giving. There'll be another opportunity later. You could even get into even worse reasons for not giving. Like, well, the people don't really need it. You know, they're abusing the system. Well, I'm saying you can let all those thoughts go through your head. And Paul here is working on them on that. That, hey, no, the need is real. The gift of God is real. All the reasons for it are valid. And look at the Macedonians. They are really nailing it on the giving this year. Sometimes you need that little push. And that's the good thing about being in a brotherhood, is you can give each other that little push from time to time. Sometimes you do grow a little weary in giving. So my story, I have my oldest son struggles with addiction. And a lot of times when you struggle with addiction, you have lots of needs. When you're getting ready to put your life back together, there's a lot that you have to, that somebody, they can't do it by themselves. They need help with that. And you'll help somebody put their life back together, and then their life will fall back apart. And then a year later, you're in the same place, and you're like, I got to help you get your life back together again. And the needs are real. It's not fake needs. The particular need that came up this last go-around was he needed a way to get to work. That's a very legitimate need. Well, I'm saying, if you can't get to work, you can't put your life back together. I'm thinking I probably bought this particular boy, I don't know, a Chevy Cavalier and a Dodge Dakota, and I'm thinking of five or six different vehicles. None of them, you know, we're talking about $2,000 trash vehicles here because I am on a budget. And you know what? I said, you know, I'm not going to do this again. He's going to have to figure out a way to make this work himself. You know, I had grown weary in that particular act of giving. Even though the need was probably real, I was thinking of all the reasons why that could be abused and why I had done enough already. And I'm like, you know, I think I'm just going to take a pass on this time around. And so then one of my other sons, I didn't say anything about this, you know. That I didn't say anything about there was a need. I didn't say anything about that I wasn't going to fill that need. And he just mentioned to me, he says, I found this great pickup, and I think Jacob needs it so he can get to work, and I'm going to buy it for him. And I thought, wow, that's just like the Macedonians and the Corinthians. I've got to get on this. I said, well, I wasn't going to do this, but let's go half on it together. Sometimes you just need that little urge to get you past the point of being weary. So if you're there, take note from the Macedonians. Take note from the rest of the church going out and being this blessing today. Take lessons from any little personal stories that you have. Let's go ahead and do it. I can think of a lot of reasons why I wouldn't, but I'm thinking of the reasons why I will today. And that's where I want to leave you. Think of the reasons why you will today. So the way it's going to work is I'm going to make a few announcements. I'm going to have a prayer. Immediately after that, we'll have a song. We'll be dismissed. Then what you can do is to continue this worship service. And to really do this worship service right is in the lobby, there are bags with grocery lists on them. Pick you up as many of those as you will. We like to get one of each color, but you know, nobody's going to be mad at you if you get several of each color. The need is real. Think of reasons why you will do that. If you go to your church, and when people ask you, I mean, go to your favorite grocery store, and people are going to ask you, because there's going to be other people in this congregation at that store, and all of us are going to have the same thing. They're going to be like, what's going on? Tell them what's going on. God can be praised in our community by people seeing us giving generously today. Not so that we'll be recognized, but so that God would be recognized. And then if you hurry back here, and if you're one of the first ones back here, there'll be people here to help you unload those groceries and get them back into the pantry. If you bring it back tonight at supper time, probably nobody's going to be here. You'll have to bring it in yourself. So that's the way the giving works. Think of the reasons why, yes, I will do this today. The announcements I promised. I have a note from James Smith. To the members of this church, James Smith would like to thank everyone for their prayers, encouragement, help, and other types of support. This was during the operation, rehabilitation, and relocation to a new home. Without this physical and mental recovery would have been very difficult to impossible. Also appreciated are the kind words and the welcoming back to the fold. Thanks also for bringing communion, food, and many countless kindnesses shown in his love, James. James, are you here today? Yes. James, we love you, and thank you for expressing your thanks to us. And all, let's just take time to keep loving on James as much as we can. I know this has been a hard year for you. Also, a note from Paula Roper. Dear friends and family, just saying thank you does not adequately express my thanks for your love shown to me on my birthday yesterday. The cards, gifts, and well wishes were overwhelming. My special thanks to my family who made my day so memorable. I love you all so much, Paula Roper. Paula, we love you as well. Happy birthday. And that reminds me, if you did look in your caring and sharing, so there is no service tonight. But there is a birthday party for Betty at 2 to 4. And so everybody should be here for that, because we want to show Betty how much we love her and how glad we are to celebrate with her. I did notice that the Warrens are in the audience today, and it looks like they have a precious little baby with them. So everybody should try to respect the parents and the baby, but also welcome baby Braden here. Mike and Clara Davis, I don't see them. They had expressed that they are, a lot of you know them as former members. Some of you are new. They have expressed that they want to place their membership back with us. So when we see them, I'm sure we'll do a special recognition of that fact at that time. All right, if you would, join me in prayer, song, walk the sermon. Father, we want to humble ourselves before you now, and Father, we want to lift up your name and give you the praise that the best that we can, Father. I know we're inadequate with our words and we're inadequate with our deeds, but Father, we love you and we recognize that you are the holy God, that you are our God, and that you are mighty in every way, and that you are holy. Father, we thank you for this church. Father, we pray that you would continue to strengthen it. Father, we want to lift up the sermon that we're going to be walking today. And Father, our prayer is just like you said there in Corinthians, that that's just the seed, that you'll take that seed that we bring back here and that it'll be multiplied and that it'll be used to help people here in this community, Father. And Father, we pray that that your name would be praised here on earth, and that in addition to people being physically fed, Father, that people would be spiritually fed. Father, this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's all be standing, please.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring.